been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the Ravens have returned from Cleveland, from the dog pound. And, man, they don't look like a couple of strays. These guys look like show dogs. What a showing they put on in Cleveland. Joining me, as always, to talk about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm awesome, man. How'd you survive the weekend? Did you have a great Star Wars event? I know you didn't watch the game, though, but you probably heard about it, right?
I DVR'd the game. I watched it after the movie. The movie screening was at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I went spoiler-free, thankfully. So, like, from Thursday night until Sunday, I got nothing on social media. No spoilers, nothing. So I did go in with a fresh mind, but it was a great screening. It was 35 of my closest friends and family. You weren't there, unfortunately, but you were watching the Ravens. But we reserved the balcony for this historic Senator Theater in Baltimore, and R2-D2 was there, a snowtrooper, I don't know what the stormtrooper on Endor were called in Return of the Jedi. I don't remember them, but they were there. We got some Wookiee cookies. People came dressed up in their favorite
Wookiee cookies,
man. So
I don't even want to know.
So
Wookiee cookies.
Yeah, Wookiee cookies. But I enjoyed the movie. It was a little flawed, I'll admit it, but I still enjoyed the movie. It was a fun ride.
Do you know who's also flawed? The Browns.
Oh my goodness. Wow. They are not the first order. Let's put it that way.
Should we break out the knock knock joke?
All right, go ahead.
Let's do it. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Owen.
Owen who?
Owen 14.
Oof.
Well, I was going to say Uncle Owen, but I kind of was like, that doesn't make any sense. So
I'm going to
stick to the theme here.
But before we even get into the game, you and I have talked about, you know, the Ravens fan base and how many empty seats there have been at the stadium this year. Holy cow. I have never in my life seen an NFL football game with less people. This was Cleveland's last home game of the season, and what, there were maybe like 300 people in the stands. That was like heartbreaking to see. I mean, I understand they're bad, but that, like, for that big of an empty stadium, gosh, that just looked terrible.
It looks terrible, man. But it's kind of like in retrospect, if it were the Ravens and it was a home season finale and we're 0-13. I mean, would you expect the same? Would you expect a sellout crowd? Would you expect 20 to 30 to come on a Sunday afternoon in December? You know, people are like, I got better things to do. I mean, you know, putting a winner in the seats is one thing, but when you're god awful that bad, I mean, just put it in perspective. I saw a stat this week that said Tom Brady has like so many wins since 2005, and the Browns in the last 44 games have 3 wins total.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, you talk about it really being awful. They're awful, dude, and they're two games away from going 0-16, which is the first. It'll be the second team. The Lions did it years back, and, I mean, it's crazy to see the NFL. I mean, we've seen the Patriots go undefeated. Granted, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they did finish their regular season at 16-0. We saw the Lions go 0-16, so are the Browns going to follow suit and be the second team? They got 2 games, and guess who their game is at the end of the year?
Who's that?
It's Pittsburgh. You can already count that. They're probably going to go at least 0-15. So,
wow.
Here's
the thing. So we've seen 2 teams leave and go to L.A. within the last year.
Right.
When you look at a game like that in Cleveland as the last home game of their season, how do you, as like an NFL, as like the commissioner of the NFL, go, oh, well, here's another team we got to relocate. Like, for Oakland to lose a team, for San Diego to lose a team, for St. Louis to lose a team, and then you see Cleveland with so few fans in the seats. I mean, I would assume you would take that one before you would take Oakland and move it somewhere else. But
what would happen to the city if – I mean, they're still complaining. Look, just put it in perspective. I'm glad you're bringing this up. Because the Ravens and Colts play this weekend, which we all know, we're speaking of the teams moving.
Yeah.
It's like a theme this week. You know, we go to Cleveland where we came from, and then we come home and play the team that was our old team. So it's kind of like weird how that happened in the same week. I don't think that's ever happened in the same week in the Ravens' history with the Colts and the Browns. But it's kind of funny. We had the old Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Now we had the old Baltimore team, new Baltimore team facing each other, which is kind of cool. But speaking of that, what would happen to City of Cleveland if their team got taken from them? Because for a second time, and they're mad. Put it in perspective, man. I mean, I was born in 86, so I was 10 years old when the Ravens came here, 14 when they won the Super Bowl. So let's put it in perspective. So I don't know what it's like to live without the Colts. You know, you talk to the older generation, they know what it's like for a football team to leave in the middle of the night, get bitter. Maybe they followed a different team, and then when the Ravens came, they gave it a shot. I don't know. A lot of people I talked to were like that. They followed X, Y, and Z team, and Ravens came, they're like, I'm all in, invested. You know, certain people are like, no, I still follow my team, but the Ravens are my second love because they're my hometown. Whatever. So getting off of that, it's like they're still mad. We got our team. They have their team. We were out of football team for, what, 13 years?
Yeah.
It seemed like, yeah, 13 years. They were without a team for, what, 3 seasons? So, and they made the playoffs in 3 seasons after they were in, and that's the only and last time that the Browns, I should say, made the playoffs was 2002. That was a wild card. They were 10-6 that year, and that was their best year. And they haven't just found the promised land since in the playoffs. I mean, you know, they lost a wild card game against Pittsburgh that year, and you know, you're right, man. It causes for concern, but most teams leave, and the reason why there's a whole big business ordeal, and everybody's like, it's a business. And the reason why, as we know, the Ravens of Cleveland, Art Modell, the great late Art, he wanted a new stadium. Okay, so the city was like, well, we're not giving you a stadium. So he's like, well, I'm going to leave. And look what happened. We moved into Memorial Stadium, played some football. We got a brand new stadium as it stands now at M&T Bank Stadium, you know, a couple years from that. So, and the reason why the Ravens are pouring billions of dollars in their upgrades and putting video boards and escalators and, you know, all this stuff, sound systems and HD this and that, is because you need to upkeep the stadium with the times, because if you don't, not to say, okay, if you don't keep up with your stadium, the team leaves, but, you know, that's what usually happens. And
fans get disinterested, and
yeah,
you know, that's the way of the world. I mean, why the Baltimore Arena, that's why they lost the Blast, and yep, they've gone to play in Towson, the Baltimore Arena. I mean, no offense, but place is a dump.
And I don't know, it's good for WWE, it's good for concerts, it's good for everything else that comes through there, but it's just not, I mean, WWE's hosted a pay-per-view there, so
I saw Bruce Springsteen there. Bruce Springsteen loves right. that old arena, because they're not built like that anymore. It's perfect acoustics for a concert, but it does not have the amenities that many modern arenas have.
And that's a problem, and it's like it's almost like a car, you know. You can keep an old car, but do you want to keep putting money into it, or just go buy a brand-new shiny car?
Right.
You know, buildings and cars are way different, you know, because one's depreciating, one's not. You know, not get down on that tangent, but it is sad to see, you know, a Cleveland team. And I was joking with my team, because when I was deciding to almost go to this game, upper-level tickets were like $4, and then lower-level tickets were like $20. They were like Orioles prices, and I'm like – dude, they drive 6 hours one way to go to – you can't go to an NFL game for that cheap, and there'd be a chance to knock off that stadium, the checklist. I was there, you know, knock it off. I got the road trip done. I almost did. 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was sitting up, and I was still looking at logistics. I was looking online for tickets. I'm like, dude, just grab them and go and just drive yourself. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. And, you know, it was just like, you know, so I kind of kept it at bay, and I didn't only because I know the Ravens are on a playoff berth on the horizon, and I kind of want to, you know, I got the Ray Lewis Hall of Fame next year, Ravens road trip if I want to go to wild card, or if I roll the dice and gamble. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but, you know, according to ESPN, we're like a 91% lock for the playoffs, virtual lock at that. Got to play the football games, but as of right now, the Browns, least of our concern. We have the Colts and the Bengals, who, as we know, it's just, you know, but there's something special on the horizon, man. You speaking of the old team, and we'll get to cover it in the later weeks, but just think about it, how the last 3 weeks set up. Cupcake schedule, the teams are combined like, what, 5 or 6? It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the teams are combined, you know, what, 10, I have to look at their schedule, like 10 for 4, I have to look, 10 for 40 or something like that. Like the Browns, obviously winless. But we faced our old team in the Browns where we came from. Colts come here, obviously on Saturday. And then we play the Bengals, but just think about it for a second. The head coaching, we played against Hugh Jackson. And just think about the connections of this. I don't know if you've actually put in perspective, but just, you know, this is awesome. Hugh Jackson was one of our old head on our staff. He's head coaching the Browns, who we beat. That was our old team where we came from, where we relocated from and formed the Ravens. Colts come here where obviously it was the Baltimore Colts. Chuck Pagano used to be our defensive coordinator. He's now head coach of the Colts. He could be his last year coaching that team. Then Marvin Lewis comes to town where, as we know, he's done after this year at the Bengals, and he used to be our defensive coordinator. So it's cool how the last 3 weeks there's still nostalgic ties with the team, and it could be our last licks that we're seeing these guys as head coaches. So, but the Ravens took care of business, you know, getting to the matters at hand. It kind of started a little shaky, you know. They kind of, you know, got a little, you know, hit in the mouth. It was kind of like, and it's funny because I was talking about this during the game. I said, it's kind of like, it was like the McGregor-Mayweather fight. And so I was like, how can you compare McGregor and Mayweather to Ravens-Browns? But just how it started. If anybody watched that fight, McGregor had him in the first round. They're like, oh my God. And then what happened? Mayweather dominated the rest of the way. And that's kind of what the Ravens felt like. First quarter, they let them hang around. They took the lead 3-7 or 7-3, and it was like, really? The Browns? And then the Ravens just said, you know what? We're tired of tinkering with you guys. Let's go. And they just took him to school.
Yeah, and that's something that I am a little worried about looking forward with this offense is the offense has definitely gotten better from what we've seen in London and other games, and they're saying it's because Joe's a little bit more healthy, but 2 weeks in a row, Joe has thrown. Last week was an interception in the end zone, and then this week it was a very close miss, but could have been an interception. The Ravens are starting out very slow on offense, and that definitely is worrisome going toward the postseason, because you need to play a full 60 minutes. You need to be on that complete time, because that's how you win playoff games, is playing a full 60 minutes. And when the Ravens come out slow like that, definitely worries me for the future. But the Ravens were able to pick up the tempo a little bit and come out swinging towards the end. But, you know, it was against the Browns, so I guess there wasn't really a lot to be excited about. But, man, did my heart skip a beat a little bit with Jeremy Maclin going out of the game, because when, you know, that's a big thing with these next 3 weeks. Stay healthy. You need to win out to get a playoff berth, but we also need these starters to stay healthy for the postseason. And when Maclin went down, I was like, well, here we go. This is it. We're going to lose to Cleveland at this point, because yes, you have Wallace, but Perryman was also out there. Chris Moore's coming into his own, but Maclin is built to be the number one guy for the Ravens offense. And when he went down, I was like, well, that's it. We had fun. Now who knows what'll happen.
Absolutely, man. And Maclin, he concerns me a little bit. The dude's made of glass, and I felt like, you know, for the first time, as we've seen, it's kind of funny. We were joking how, oh, Perryman's active. We're going to lose. We're gonna look bad. And I feel like Macklin's kind of taken on the role of Perryman a little bit. You know, it's like, dude, you know, I'm still perturbed about the fact that he wasted that timeout in Pittsburgh where, you know, he got hurt, made the waste of timeout, and then two plays later comes back on the field. I'm like, then what were you hurt for, dude? Get off the field. So, you know, and I feel like the dude's made a glass. Perryman showed, you know, okay. You know, I'm not singing his praises by any stretch of the mind here. He made a catch, solid catch. But That's all he logged, but there's nothing to complain about there. You know, he contributed where he needed to. But Macklin, man, you know, he started the year off very strong, had that great touchdown, and that's it. And then I feel like he's just been a very quiet contributor here and there. Wallace is coming on strong as of late. Ben Watson's coming along strong as of late. We know the story of Alex Collins. Buck Allen's run the ball very hard. Now the line's come together with the loss of Yanda earlier this year. I feel like the line has solidified itself. I'm not singing their praises either, but the ranks right now, you're right, the offense have found their stride. We're scoring points. Flacco looked poised. Again, we took care of the ball, really didn't turn the ball over, you know, and stood tall in the pocket, made his reads, and threw some crisp passes. And how about dropping that pass to Ben Watson on a dime, man? That was a great throw, and I felt like the offense just, you know, there was an article placed out there, and it was put it right out there for everybody to read. You know, it's January Joe showing right up, and as of right now, you know, January Joe's playing right now in mid-December, late December, and it's looking good.
Absolutely, and everybody was calling for Joe's head just a few mere weeks ago, and now everyone's...
It's funny how that works, right?
Yeah, so everybody's singing the praises of Joe Flacco at this moment, so that's always good to see. It was good to see Ben Watson out there on the field. He's had kind of a quiet, I don't know, October, November. He was doing pretty good there at the beginning, and then it kind of quieted down a little bit, but it's good to see him back in action and working with Joe again. We need everybody for this playoff push. And let's talk about the defense now. The defense looked very good. I mean, one of the biggest parts that I really enjoyed was seeing Brandon Williams get a touchdown or, you know, pick up that fumble and able to get into the end zone for a big guy like that, man. That's got to be a good feeling for him. He doesn't get to do that often.
No, and that was awesome to get the fumble recovery. And that just showed, you know, the setup right there. I mean, they were pinning him deep all day long. Sam Cook, man, rightly deserved the game ball. If he don't get in the Pro Bowl, I'll be very, very shocked. And Sam Cook, man, MVP. You're pinning the team deep all the time, and then that one where he just pinned him deep, that's what happened. And the defense went right after Kaiser, strip sack fumble, and Brandon Williams recovered it for the touchdown, and it was just on at that point, and you're right. He never really gets to, you know, get involved in those celebrations, and I feel like, you know, if the game's in hand, maybe one time, maybe if we're on the goal line, maybe you can get like a lead block or a carry to get involved, which is all the time. I think back then, Haluti Nada was kind of featured in that kind of package where he'd be featured in the back and try to get a line push. So I feel like I like to see Brandon involved if the game's not close. Obviously, we don't be fooling around there. But what a great way to have Brandon Williams, you know, celebrate that feed and recover that fumble in the end zone and score, and, you know, him get a chance to be a part of what it's like, you know, on offense. And because obviously on the defensive front, unless it's a, you know, scoop fumble and rumbling down to the end zone, you won't really score much. And it was great to see the defense coming on. Waddle getting another interception, enjoying another great bowl of ice cream. Have you been following that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I don't know how he eats all that, man. That is so sweet, but good
for
him.
All that, and then all like the junk food, I'm like, see, and this was funny is, hey, NFL players are in shape and they do what they do and they take care of bodies, but they still get to divulge in their junk food. So if you're a person trans, you're out there telling you don't eat this, don't eat that, just pull up Eric Weddle's Twitter feed and go, hey, NFL safety's doing it.
You know, with Eric Weddle, I mean, we were talking about how Jimmy's Seafood's the reason why he came to town and how he got free crab cakes and crabs, and that really lured him to Baltimore. You know what? I think it was the burger cookies of Baltimore.
Do you think it was the burger cookies?
I think he was like, oh, I need more of these burger cookies all the time.
We used to tweet him. I wonder if he's tried a burger cookie.
Oh, no, they're always a part of his Sundays. He loves those things.
I must have been missing that part, have they? I missed that part.
Yeah, he loves those things. So, yeah, definitely I think he's got a sweet tooth. So those burger cookies are amazing. So, yeah, definitely a part of that. But the big thing that you were talking about on the Purple Friday preview was Josh Gordon for the Browns. What did you think of the Ravens? How did they do against Josh Gordon?
Oh, man, dude, they handled him well. And I'm actually surprised. I mean, I don't know if it was just the ineffectiveness of Kaiser not getting the ball, but I was actually, you know, surprised that they didn't let a big-time receiver, you know, wreck some havoc. I kind of anticipated, not for my own fantasy sake, I got smashed in my fantasy matchup, but, you know, end all be all. But I just felt like number one, Kaiser really couldn't get him the ball much. And then when he did, Josh Gordon really didn't impress as far as making the plays up and down the field. So I feel like, you know, from a playmaking standpoint, they really kept him in check. Yeah, he's not Antonio Brown. He's not going to light the world on fire there. But, you know, in retrospect, you know, I thought he was going to go off on us. And I'm like, oh, man, if we let Brown get loose, I mean, yeah, he's not Antonio Brown level. But, you know, again, we reiterated it back in the previous shows is we've had our issues with big time receivers. And I feel like, you know, with the new look that we didn't really know, we haven't played him in years. He hasn't been in the league that it was kind of like playing a rookie. It came out of nowhere. It was like, okay, there's no really game film on him. The Ravens never really game plan for him. And they handled it well. And I feel like he wasn't really disruptive as we thought.
No, he wasn't. I mean, after all the talk that we had about him, he really was a non-factor. I don't know if that was due to just the Ravens defense doing so well, or if it was just he was having an off game or what, but he really, that was absolutely not a factor whatsoever for Josh Gordon with the Ravens. So, I don't know what else there really is to talk about with this game. Is there anything else you think we should really cover? Because it was Ravens-Browns. It was kind of what we were expecting. I got to say, maybe because I wasn't watching it live, I was kind of bored with the game just for the sheer fact that it kind of went the way, like, a win's a win. I'm not complaining. But there was, you know, with going from Ravens Steelers where there's like so much drama in the game to this one, it was like, you know, oh, you know, just another Ravens win. I like it. All right, that's cool. Nothing like spectacular or crazy happened in the game. This definitely was like a run of the mill. We need a win. We got to win. Let's move on type of game.
And that's what I kind of liked and preferred. I mean, this game wasn't going to be flashy by any stretch, and I feel like that's what was needed. The Ravens needed this win, and it was more important than the Steelers game because we could afford to lose that game. We're still in position. We're 8-6 now, two games above 500. You know, just last month we're one game under 500. So the Ravens are winners of four of the last five, you know, games. If you put the Steelers game lumped into there, you know, it's setting up beautifully for a 10-6 record. Of all the things that we've endured this year as the football team has, you know, they're in the prime position to be not only 6th seed but the 5th seed. New scenarios came out this week where the Ravens could be as high as number 5, man. How about that?
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, it is, man. They went out and they take care of business against the Colts. And what's awesome is these two games are at home. You know, a Saturday night game, Christmas weekend. It's upon us. It's Festivus Maximus. It's the holidays. I'm bringing that phrase back. You heard it. Festivus for the rest of us. And Evan Mulatalo was great enough to get that phrase coined in the 2000-year Festivus Maximus. And I'll never forget that. And that was my favorite phrase and still rings every time we make the playoffs. That's our time. It's Festivus time. And the P word's about to get released here in Baltimore. And for those who don't like it, tough. And for those who don't, who doubted the team, sorry, but you don't get the root for us because you were sitting there naysayers all year and, oh, I want to play for a draft pick. I want him to tank. Well, they're two wins away from being could be a 5th seed in playoffs, NFL playoffs, and serious contenders. You know, they already showed they can hang with Pittsburgh. I guarantee they can hang easily with New England. Jacksonville, I want redemption on. In Tennessee, it was an aberration. I feel like, you know, the offense was still trying to find their way, and ever since that game, they kind of felt it and found it. So, you know, I'm not really going to put the onus out there, but I will say this. What wasn't really boring was the weekend as a whole. I didn't see it because obviously, you know, I'm not saying I was footballed out, but the game really didn't have much interest for me fantasy-wise. The game really didn't have much interest for the Ravens' playoffs contentions or stakes. The Dallas Raiders game, I was keeping monitor of the score, but I was rushing. The wrestling pay-per-view, obviously, with Clash of Champions up here. But did you see the shenanigans with the index card?
I saw a screen grab on Twitter, but like you were saying, with that game, I'm not going to lie. This has happened a lot this season. Maybe it's because I'm old now. I fell asleep during
you
that
fell
game.
Asleep?
I did during that Dallas Oakland game.
Man. I'll stop reading that 18 pages. Front and back.
I legit fell asleep at like 9 o'clock, 9:40 or whatever during that game.
But I didn't know I was doing a podcast on an old geezer. Man.
It was, yeah, wild weekend. What can I say?
Asleep. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Star Wars, but you poop your tooth, man. You poop.
But the index card, I did see that on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, what is up with the NFL? And someone, I forget, and I got to dig for it now. I'll probably never find it ever again. But someone posted on Twitter, and I should either saved it, liked it, grabbed a screenshot. But I'm going to paraphrase here. The tweet was to this nature. You have the NFL, who's a billion-dollar business, telling me with all the technology out there, that's a word, technology, all the advances that we have in technology, and the NFL is measuring to a bunch of old guys standing around with a index card and sticks, and these players are putting their necks and the careers on the line for that kind of reason. It's just embarrassing. Like, you know, an index card, you can't – like, we have, like, laser pointers for pictures to hang in the house and this and that, and you're using index cards and chains. Like, we need to stop that. Like, that's just embarrassing. Like, seriously, of all the things the NFL's got to endure this year, that's icing on the cake. And you'll like this. I tweeted my cousin, who's a Cowboys fan. I went immediately the next day. That was the most clever, and I think this deserves tweet of the year. I went on staples.com and looked up index cards and screenshotted the order and then put it in a tweet. And I said, hey, you can go to Staples and get a replica of your first down markers. Yeah, he liked that. He's like, now I've seen it all. So, you know, my cousin Michael enjoyed that one. And, you know, getting away from that. But, dude, how about the dose of karma that the Steelers got served?
Big time.
I'm still loving it, dude. I can lick my finger, put it in the air, and bring it back down. I can still taste the salt in the air of the Steeler fans. I love it. Hey, I'm just sitting back loving it. I'm like, and people are jumping on me for liking New England. They're like, how can you root for Pittsburgh or New England over Pittsburgh? I respect Pittsburgh. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, but Bill Belichick never stepped on the field during a Ravens game. I'm sorry, but Tom Brady's got 5 Super Bowls to Ben Roethlisberger's 2, and he's the GOAT. I'm sorry, but I respect the way they play the game and they're coached up. I respect Mike Tomlin a great deal. I mean, he's close to some people I know. You know, he's done a lot for, you know, charities for our city too. No one really knows about and some friends that are near dear to me with some health issues. And you know, I'm not saying I don't disrespect that, but you're talking the week before how we lost that game and how emotionally charged that game was. You're telling me I got to sit here and be okay with them losing or rooting for, you know, Pittsburgh over New England? No. Pittsburgh will always be number one hate in my heart. I don't care. You know, it's just how it is. Yeah, we both hate each other, the teams equally, man. I don't know how you feel, but New England's are not our rival. We don't play them twice a year. They're not 5-hour drive. They're not in our division. Of all of our great moments, I feel like they're our second rival, technically, you know, unofficially. But, you know, end all be all, no. No one's – I hate Pittsburgh, and it was great to see. Catch or no catch, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect anybody. It just – I don't care, and it's just great.
Yeah. I mean,
well, what do you think, man? Was it a catch to you?
Well, no. The one, what foot? One of them wasn't on the ground yet, right? There was a toe.
No,
there
clue.
Was a toe drag, and then there was a foot in the air. It wasn't hitting the ground, so not a catch.
I don't know. It's, I mean, it's kind of funny because how many times have I seen a running back put the ball like in a pile? Like if they're on the 1-yard line, he jumps over the pile and puts the ball over, and then it gets smacked out. They still call it a touchdown because once the ball breaks the plane of the goal line and you have control of it, that's a touchdown, no matter what happens after that. But then you bring up Dez Bryant's catch and you bring up, you know, Calvin Johnson's catch before, and you're telling me that they didn't control it all the way to the ground. And that's what the whole issue is. And everybody was bringing up the NFL rule book that it states you have to have complete control from start to finish even after you go to the ground. And then – dude, the other side of the argument was people were up in arms because it's like, okay, now you're bringing into a question that a ground can't cause a fumble, but it can cause an incomplete pass. So I'm like, but it's the same thing. And it'd be different. And everybody was like, well, if it was your team, you'd be crying the blues. I'm like, it whether we're crying or not, and if it was my team involved or not, it's the NFL rule. So we're going to be mad at the rule. You can't be mad at a team. Can't be mad at the Patriots for being unlucky, or you can't be mad at the refs or mad at the league. It's the rule. So it's across the board. And what's kind of funny is of the two most storied franchises in this league right now in the AFC, and it happened to them. So it didn't happen in the Ravens. It didn't happen in the Jaguars. It happened on one of the biggest stages of the biggest game this year, and it happened to them. So if it happened to them, there's no collusion. It's just how it is. It's the rule. I mean, Dez Bryant had a catch the controversial that was in a divisional playoff game against the Packers. So things happen. But what's embarrassing to me in bringing that up is it's embarrassing that this weekend in two separate games and separate incidences, you have a controversy where we don't know what a catch is in the NFL, which Harbaugh kind of jabbed at in his press conference. And then we're measuring first downs to index cards. Like, it's kind of I told my coworker today, and he agreed. I said, dude, this is the best reality TV I've ever seen in my life. I love it. Because it's like always some circus, always something new. Players getting fined over stupid stuff. You know, before we complained about touchdown celebration, I laid that. I'm like, I feel like the NFL has got to mess the cleanup in the offseason. And boy, do they do. But, you know, it is what it is. I loved it. And it created a certain scenario for us, because if Pittsburgh would have won that game and held on, it literally would have held on to the ball. You know, they would have been number one seed in home field advantage. Now with the Patriots, you know, winning that, it kind of evened things up there. So, and all my friends are jumping on me now. Well, now you're rooting for Pittsburgh and they lost. I'm like, it's funny. It's like they're mad at my rooting for the Patriots basically ruined our playoff chances or something. Because it's like, if we win our wild card game, we got to go to New England, not Pittsburgh. And I'm like, Pittsburgh played us three times in 2008 and swept us. I don't want to go back there. I'd rather get in New England. I guess I'm the minority. I don't know how you feel, but I do not want to go back to towel twirling land. I hate it there, and I don't want to go back there. And with the injury to Brown, all I got to say is karma, karma, karma. That's what he got. And I'm just snickering the whole way. So it's awesome. But the dude will be back for the playoffs, so don't be – loving that he's out, because he's out for me in the air. But this brings up a fun point, because the Steelers go on the road to Houston and they got DeAndre Hopkins. So not to say Houston has any chance of beat him, but without Brown and those weapons, who knows, man? The Steelers could drop one and it could open up door. And that's what's funny to me, because there's a crazy scenario out there that I feel like – I don't want to say this because I don't know how true it is, but I heard that if Pittsburgh were to drop another game and Jacksonville were to win out, that would put both teams at 12-4. But Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh head to head, and I don't know what their conference records are. I had to look, but they said Jacksonville could be as high as the getting a first round bye, and Pittsburgh would drop the three.
Wow!
So really? That's how crazy these AFC playoff scenarios are. So you're talking the Ravens go as high as 5, and the Steelers going as low as 3. That means the Steelers would have to play the 6th seed. We would go to the 5th seed. And right now, as it stands, if the games play out the way they should be, I don't know how they're going to play out, but there's a strong possibility that it looks like we'd be going to New England the first week in January. Or not New England. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Kansas City would be our opponent if we can go 5th seed. So, you know, see how it all plays out, man. But it's been a crazy weekend in the NFL, and I'm just loving it either way. But Steelers lost, Ravens win. It's a good day indeed.
Absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Red Eye Review?
Let me ask my Christmas Raven. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianCheeky52.
All right, guys, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And then since we are on Facebook, you are on Facebook, share the show and let everybody know. Be on social media and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. We are available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. And please write us an iTunes review. And again, be social with the show and share it and tell all your friends to listen to us as well, and subscribe on all those different apps. There's Podcast Addict as well. We're all over the place. So that is it for the Red Eye Review this week. We will be back on Friday to talk Indy, not the Colts. Indy versus the Ravens. That's what I'm going to say. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. This was a great, great show this week. I was I can't believe we're just talking. Me and my dad were talking. I'm like, how crazy is this year flown by? We're already less than 2 weeks away from the end of the NFL season and 3 weeks away from playoffs. How is that?
It's crazy. Like, I know.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. I'm like, fantasy, I have to give kudos to my dad. He won his first fantasy title this week.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. He was runner-up last year. Get this. He played in two fantasy leagues, or three, I think, total. And in two of the three, he made the championship Super Bowl that weekend, and he was runner-up both games. He lost both title games, but this year he actually made a run and he won his game, and he ended up champion. So I have to give kudos to him.
Congrats.
It's awesome, man. It's awesome. And in fantasy football, for all those who don't play and think it's dumb or stupid, I just wanted to give a shout out to that because, you know, it's fun because it gets you involved in every other game other than the Ravens. You're watching games. You're rooting for players. You get mad sometimes. You're like, give it to my guy. Why are you not? And then when a player gets hurt, you see my tweets. I get mad a little bit, but it's all fun. But it just brings people together. It gets our friends and family involved because we get together once a year for drafts. We trash talk all the time, especially on a weekly matchup. And I knocked my best friend of 20 years. I knocked him out of the playoffs to get to the semifinals of my league. So it just creates some, you know, fun times and trash talking. And but what it does is I felt like it brings me closer to my dad, which is awesome because me and him – you know, we share different opinions about it because I like to go out for the Ravens game. So, you know, but, you know, that's just what I enjoy. And I just love the fact that we get to talk fantasy football. It's not just Ravens, but, you know, we're talking scenarios, matchups, lineups, and watching the playoff games. And nothing was awesome, more awesome than watching the Monday, Thursday night game with the Chiefs and the Chargers, and with Hill getting that long touchdown and seeing the excitement. It's almost like the Ravens are scoring, man. I don't know if people don't see that, and it's awesome. And when they just, you know, tie things together, just, you know, with the Christmas season upon us, holidays, however you choose to celebrate, you know, it's a great time with friends and family. You know, football's at the focal of that. The Ravens, are, of course, are playing on Saturday. They played Christmas night last year. Me and Brandon were together for that frightful night where Antonio Brown stretched his arms and dashed our seasons just like that. And it's going to be a different tune this year because the Ravens are home and home to end the year on both holiday weekends. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Kicking off the first game because there's no Thursday game this week, so the Ravens are the first game of the docket for week 16 of the NFL season. It's Ravens. It's Colts. We got past those Brownies. Swept them as always, and just another great divisional win, and we have two more to go. Guys, enjoy the week until the Purple Friday preview. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.